That, wait, hang on. I just completely fucked that up, didn't I?
Will this be part of the opening?
No.
Oh.
No. All right, let's try that again. Hang on. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris Hainer.
I'm John Michael.
How are you, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not bad. Happy Zombie Jesus Day.
And happy Zombie Jesus Day to you.
We won't dwell too much on Easter because by the time they hear this, it'll be way over. But, you know, figure I might as well put it out there.
But isn't there like a Mexican holiday 3 days after, like, you know, Three Kings Day?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think so for Easter.
No, you don't like put spears under your bed or something? No?
No, not that I'm aware of. It's never been celebrated in my house.
Okay. Sugar cubes for the Roman centurion's horses?
No.
Okay.
I did have an interesting morning, though.
You did?
I did. I was awakened to the sound of a woman screaming.
How's that different than any other day?
I'm still in.
Did she get out of the closet?
No.
No.
I have to use better duct tape.
Exactly.
I'm still in the extended stay, and I guess around 7:30 this morning the power went out in the hotel, and I was awakened to what sounded like a black woman screaming. I guess she was in the shower when the power went out. So I wake up and I hear, "That ain't funny! Put them lights back on! This ain't funny!" And I'm like, "What the fuck?" And I wake up and it's completely dark in the room and there's like no response. And then she's like, "Turn them goddamn lights back on! I am trying to take a shower!" And I'm like, "Oh, what's going on?" And then I hear from the other wall, the other side of the wall, a dude say, "I can't turn the lights back on! The power's out!" And I was like, "Oh, so..." In one very loud exchange, I figured out what was going on. I figured out that this woman was stuck in the shower with no lights and apparently could not see and probably hurt herself trying to get out. And then the construction workers that are staying in the hotel at the far end were screaming down to the office, which is, I guess, under them, screaming that the power was out. And the woman at the front desk was screaming, "What do you want me to do about it? I've called the power company." And they're screaming back to her, "Well, how are we supposed to get dressed?" And she's like, "Open the blinds?" And I was like, that would be me. If that was me down there, I would have said the exact same thing. So I had a fairly interesting morning. And then the power didn't come back on until maybe 10 o'clock. I went out and had breakfast, so I really didn't
stick
around.
Good.
Yeah.
With the black woman from the shower wrapped in a towel?
No, I think she was going to church. Because, you know, it's one of them churchy holidays.
It is. It is. I'm surprised she wasn't screaming, "Lordy, Lordy, I'm blind, I'm blind.
I've been stricken.
Oh, Lordy, he took my sight." I will never see fried chicken again.
Jesus.
What?
Nothing. So, anyway.
Wow, well, that's exciting.
That was the start to my morning.
Wow.
Yeah, it's rather thrilling.
It was rather thrilling. That's amazing. I can't really one-up you too much, but I did go to the grocery store.
Oh.
I went to the hoity-toity grocery store.
Target?
No. I went to Whole Paycheck. And,
Are you eating...
It's really...
Are you eating, what's it called? What can I think of the fucking name?
Organic?
Organic, yes. Thank you.
No.
No?
No, I go there for the barbecue.
Oh.
No, I go for the barbecue.
Okay.
And the mac and cheese.
Okay.
But the store is kind of touristy because there are these people who just wander around with like their mouths open going, "Oh my God, there's so much stuff. I don't know where to look." And I'm like, just get out of my fucking way.
Is it in a touristy part of town?
It's right off the interstate. at Sand Lake Road.
Okay.
There's the Super McDonald's on one corner,
Okay.
on one side of the interstate, and then this is the other side of the interstate. So heading towards Dr. Phillips.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So there was this African American family walking around, and I don't know who dresses these people. I don't know who told them that one of the kids was a teenager, obviously maybe 14, 15, really skinny, oversized shorts that come down so that they're pretty much clam diggers.
Right.
You know, baseball cap too big off to his side, and he's wearing black, thick rimmed glasses.
Okay.
Well, when I got closer, I realized that there was no glass in the glasses.
Oh, so they were like stylish shades or whatever they're called.
No, they were eyeglass frames with no glass in them. Like, they weren't even stylish with, like, fake, you know,
Like fake glass?
window glass in them. And it's like, really? It's like, listen, Urkel. You know, this is why people don't like your people.
Right.
You know, you won't wear a goddamn belt, your hat's too damn big, and now you're wearing fucking glasses that you can, like, you know, poke your eye out through them. Which I did. I went up and I went boink, and
Stooged him.
I Three Stooged him. And because, you know, he didn't grow up watching Three Stooges, he didn't know enough to put his hand up, so yeah, I blinded him.
Was he wearing like matching plaid shorts and shirt?
No, he was matching like big red shorts and a big red shirt.
The plaid thing is big here in South Carolina. I don't
Oh,
get
is
it,
it?
but yeah.
With everybody or just certain groups?
Certain groups.
Oh, okay.
You know. See
What
people
group?
walking down the street and it's like, wow, why would you put that on?
Because it was on sale at Rosp. They said it was designer. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah. People are wacky, aren't they?
I guess.
It's just bizarre, you know? Don't understand.
You don't.
I don't. I don't. I'm looking for a desert island. I'm looking for something. An isolated mountaintop somewhere in the Caribbean that I can move to and have local villagers leave me food and mail on the doorstep once a week, and that's it. Then I don't have to deal with people.
You still want mail service?
Well, yeah, you know, for catalogs and stuff. I gotta buy shit. Christmas cards, birthday cards, come on.
Okay. You're not gonna like train a carrier pigeon or something for that? Because if you
No.
have villagers carry stuff up to your door, then you might have to interact with them.
Oh no, not at all. No, I'd have like a little mini door in the door that I could, like, you know, look at them. Thank you. That's all.
Like from Wizard of Oz, you
Yes.
come out. Who rang that bell?
Ain't nobody ain't no how getting to see John Michael. Why didn't you say so? Yeah.
Oh, that'd be funny. Uh-oh, he's still there.
'Cause I'm still here. You still
Okay.
there?
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah.
You gone? Hello?
Nope, we're here.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
I was saying this is the worst time of the year to watch TV
Why is that?
because things have either ended,
Yeah.
you know, good stuff like Walking Dead, or
Right.
things are on that spring hiatus, so there's nothing new on, and you get treated to such quality television as Betty White's Off Their Rockers.
I saw that listed. I didn't watch it though. I'm guessing you watched it.
I did.
Yeah.
Obviously, the woman needs a paycheck. That's all I gotta say.
I thought she had a show on Nick at
She
Night or
does.
whatever the hell that
She
station
does.
is.
Nickelodeon.
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 Okay.
But this is another. This is, you know, prime time. This is where the money's at, the big bucks, and it's kind of like Senior Citizens and Pranked
Oh, Jesus.
are mixed up
Punked?
together.
Yeah.
Punked, pranked, ridiculousness, the whole nine yards. It's awesome funny. Because they'll do things like there'll be an old guy walking down the street and he'll see a bunch of girls trying to, you know, take their picture by holding the camera out in front of them, and he'll offer to take the picture for him. And they go, okay, that'd be great. And he, you know, they hand him the camera and they smile and he goes, okay, everybody say big boobs.
Okay.
That was the punchline. There was one where there was an old woman in the airport baggage claim, and there's a girl standing there waiting for her bags, and this woman comes up to her, well-dressed, and starts making chit-chat. It's like, oh, I hope my bag hasn't come up yet. You know, oh, I just spent 3 days in Vegas. I am so trashed. I've got such a hangover. And she's going on and on about, you know, all the stuff she did in Vegas. And then her bag comes down, and she pulls a habit out of it and puts it on and says, oh, well, back to reality, and walks away.
And people fall for that?
No, they don't. That's just it. The people are kind of looking at each other like, what was that? And, you know, it's none of that fall down on the floor, hilarious, haha, you've been pranked. It's like, what?
That's bizarre.
It was weird. There was one old man who somehow got his t-shirt on over a lamppost.
Okay.
And he's struggling to try to get off of the lamppost. And some guy stopped and tried to help him, and these things just aren't very funny. And I don't know if it's old people aren't funny anymore, or...
And it's mostly older people?
Oh, it is all older people. It is all senior citizens.
That is kind of bizarre. Why would you make a show that appeals to nobody?
Exactly. I mean, how much money would Metamucil pay for a commercial? I don't know. Metamucil, Poise.
Hey, speaking of weird commercials, have you seen the commercials that are running, like, the anti-smoking campaign that's been going on? Have you seen any of those?
The one with the tracheotomy patients?
Well, the one that I'm thinking of in particular is the woman who's laying in bed, and she talked about how she had a stroke because...
Yeah, I've seen that one.
She was smoking, and she said, I can't even dress myself, I can't bathe myself, sometimes I need help, and they pan down, and there's a young kid washing her legs.
Yeah.
And he's, like, creepily... washing them and caressing her legs. It skews me out every time it's on. It's like, why would you show that? I don't.
I think that's the whole point, is to really freak you out about smoking.
Yeah, but it's like, if you have a stroke, then you're going to be your legs are going to be fondled by your son, who's washing them, and like
exactly
he's creepily like touching them and caressing them, and I'm like, oh God, no.
That's right. Oh. That's why you shouldn't smoke. And how do you know it's her son? It could be just some creepy guy who broke into the house.
Well, she says it's supposedly her son, but I think the beginning of the commercial says like she's 62, and the son looks like he's 12 or 13. And it's like, that's kind of a weird math, but
that's
okay.
Bizarre.
Oh, it creeps me out every time I see it. I change the channel when it comes on, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it freaks me out.
I do that with all the SPCA commercials. You too can help an animal in need.
Yeah, those are kind of...
This one was used for target practice at an archery range. Several of the arrows are still embedded in his skull.
And that they always...
You too can help. This is Fitzy. Fitzy was put in the microwave. It's like, you know, you're not winning any converts here. You're showing all these sorry, sad animals. You know, here's the three-legged dog missing an eye. Don't you just want to reach out and adopt him?
Yeah. Here's a dog that's going to be three times the amount of work than a dog that you just go to a regular pound and get.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you know, it's great that there are people that will do that. But, yeah, you're
it
not...
It is.
All you're doing is basically turning people off from watching your commercial.
It's kind of like PBS fundraising.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the same thing. It's like, I'll watch PBS during the year, but once they start the fundraising crap, sorry, you lost me.
You don't want a tote bag?
I don't want a tote bag. I don't want to pay $400 for a DVD I can get for
$14. That's always my favorite, is when they show something and then they're like, you can have this program you just watched for $75. I'm just like, really? I just watched it.
Not exactly. Like, what? Like, I could get Netflix and really not even pay for it and then, you know, copy it. But sure, why don't I just send you $100?
But then you're part of the problem, John.
You know, I am. If there was better programming, I could see. If it wasn't the bullshit fundraising where they take 20 minutes out of every hour to just show the four people in the background answering phones. Your call's important to us. Please, any amount will help. 3 cents a day. Come on. Anything. Anything. Please. Please give us money. And then you never get the whole show.
Right.
So it's like, okay. You know, they may as well do that on, like, regular television and cut out the last 10 minutes so you don't know how it ends and they hold you hostage. And then you have to pay to see the finale. That, maybe that's what they should do.
Yeah. You should bring that up.
They set up a little timer that shows you how much money they're making. And once it hits a certain amount, it goes back to the show.
There you go.
And if it doesn't, one of the hosts dies. I think that'd be great. Kind of like in a Hunger Games kind of thing.
So then you're guaranteed entertainment either way. If somebody pays the amount, then great, we're back to the show. If not, one of them's going to die.
Yes.
And the more annoying, the better chance that they're going to die.
Well, I think it's like a deathmatch thing.
Is it like B-level celebrities?
What
are we talking about for host-wise?
It's not even D-level celebrities.
Okay, cast the Hunger Games version of the PBS telethon.
Fabian, Suzanne Summers, and Dora the Explorer.
You're going to have a cartoon character?
One of them must die. Yes. Yes.
So there's some poor animator who's furiously drawing pictures?
Yes.
Well, they might as well just shoot him right in the head. He's never going to keep up with Suzanne Summers.
I don't know.
No? You think he's got a good fighting chance?
Well, all she does is eat vegetables today. How healthy can you be on just vegetables? Come on.
So who was the other one?
Do you see any? Fabian.
Fabian?
Fabian, you know, from like the 1960s rock and roll.
Yeah. How did
he
come in?
He was on that episode of Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Huh?
How did he make the cut?
Because they're always showing those old, like, reunion concerts.
Oh, okay.
Obviously filmed in Branson, you know, like the Stars of the Lawrence Welk Show or the Best of the 60s doo-wop.
Right.
So you'd need one of those people. Fabian, Bobby V, Bobby Rydell.
What if we did the surviving members of the Monkees? Put Michael Nesmith.
Ever get Nesmith to show up, though?
Sure.
You know what we do? What? If Michael Nesmith doesn't show up, we kill the other two. Tune in tonight and see Mickey get it between the eyes.
Who do you think the dark horse in that race is? You think it's Peter Tork?
Yes.
Wow, we're really showing our age, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Holy shit.
Yes, we are.
There's a bunch of people listening going, who?
Yes. These are rock group. Yep. A audience of 40 people.
I think that's a good plan, though.
I think that'd be great. No?
Sure. Hey, I'm all for it.
And, you know, I mean, we could spread out. We could, you know, for fundraising week, maybe we have Paul McCartney versus Mick Jagger.
I'd have to give it to Mick Jagger.
You think so? Why's that?
Yeah, because he runs around on stage all the
He
time.
just
He's jumping around. He's probably a
You think
bit
so?
more fit than Paul McCartney.
Well, but Paul McCartney always has a younger wife, even though one of them only had one leg.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd have to give that to Mick.
You would give that to Mick? All
Yeah.
right. All right.
Now, let's see. If we did like Paul McCartney versus Ringo or something, that'd be a fair
Oh,
fight.
well, it would?
Sure. Ringo's still out touring.
You know what you do? Okay, here's what we do. This will be great.
Okay.
You get, okay, it's like a rock and roll reunion kind of show, right?
Okay.
So we're gonna reunite for one night only the surviving Beatles.
Both of
All right? Both of them.
them. Yeah.
And Paul McCartney's in on it.
Okay.
And then when Ringo shows up, they kill him.
What do you got against Ringo?
I don't know. I just think that'd be funny.
He was
You know,
Mr. Conductor,
it would be
dude.
like World's Deadliest Game, where you set him loose on Paul McCartney's estate. He gets a 15-minute head start, and Paul McCartney gets a bow and arrow and a slingshot.
Wow.
Think that'd be great because then you could do it with like other things too.
Like what?
In sync.
Are we
You all
talking?
go, you all go to Justin Timberlake's house thinking that you're finally going to have a reunion and Joey Fatone can stop working in the casinos in Connecticut. And it turns out that you're sent out onto the Casa Timberlake's Wilderness Preserve.
And
And then you're hunted down.
Timberlake's the
Yes.
one hunting?
Yes.
Okay.
Or maybe it's more fun to do it the other way around. It's the three guys with no talent.
Chris Kirkpatrick sitting there with a crossbow
Yes.
and the wild fucking hair.
Yes. And Timberlake gets a 15-minute head start. And then they go after him.
Well, see, I'd have to give that to Timberlake then, because the other three are probably way the fuck out of shape. Well, we
Yeah,
know
but
Fatone is.
they have weapons.
Yeah, but he could outrun them.
You just have to wait till he's tired. It's all you gotta do is wait till he's tired and then bam.
Oh, you don't think Timberlake's setting traps out in the field, like, calling in Jimmy John's to set up a sandwich station?
I don't think so.
Distracting Fatone and Kirkpatrick and Bass?
By leaving flatbread sandwiches spread out all over the place. I think that'd be great.
I'm telling you. Well, I think that
No.
sounds like a new sport.
I think it does. I
Think
mean, heck, it worked for Ted Nugent's little reality show.
it did. I can't
So
believe
why
they
don't you
gave
do it
him
with
a reality show.
celebrities? They did.
Yeah.
So you just do it with other celebrities.
But it's to the death, right?
Oh, it has to be.
Okay.
Yeah, we gotta do something about this overpopulation.
And we're starting with the celebrities.
We're starting with the 1%.
Okay.
In November, it's going to be a bunch of Republicans. We're going to set them loose in a black neighborhood and see if they can make it out alive.
My guess is no.
See?
Okay. Hey, that sounds good to me.
I think that would be awesome. Be awesome.
You're too much.
Sometimes I'm not enough. No, you. What would you do?
No, I like the idea of taking the B-listers, the people that get all the attention and then aren't really being any kind of productive member of society and, hunting them
Well,
down.
that would be like anybody who's on Bravo.
Well, I
So
think
you know what you do? You take everybody who's on Bravo and give them a reality show on like GAC,
Yeah.
where you send them out to, like, you know, the middle of Alabama. And just, you know, let them go.
See, I think what we're missing here though is like the NSYNC thing. I think they should all be hunted. I think it should be like the biggest NSYNC hater that does the hunting. Give the people something to
Oh,
do.
see, I don't know about give the people. You could write in and explain why you deserve.
Yes, I want a chance to hunt NSYNC. This is why. They were passing through town, and my girlfriend fucked Joey Fatone, so therefore,
Ew.
I want a chance to hunt that motherfucker down. See, and then you have somebody with motivation, you give them the weapons, and just say, "Here you go." And you could actually start them off in like those racehorse pens, you know,
Oh, sure.
like at the start line.
Sure.
So you have to watch them run their ass down the first little stretch into the woods. That's what I would do.
Definitely.
And then you get the
Definitely.
crazy metal guy to hunt them down.
That would work. Interesting. Very interesting.
And then what we do is we turn control of the Raptor drones over to 13-year-olds and let them fly and destroy Washington.
Now, do they need to destroy Washington, or they need to destroy just certain key targets?
Well, before we get tagged by the CIA or anything, let's just say in this scenario, this funny ha-ha scenario that oh, I don't know. We'd have them take out Congress and the Senate because those are the biggest scoring points. Not that we'd actually do that, but in a scenario.
I don't know. I think you're just crazy enough that you might.
No, I
Now, where
wouldn't.
is it you said you're living now? What's that address?
It's Orlando, Florida. I live in an apartment complex
I bet you do.
near SeaWorld.
Yeah, right. I bet that nun would turn on you.
Hey, shut up. Not saying that we would. We're just saying, ha ha ha. Oh, isn't it funny? Right? Back me up, Josh.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I think you're crazy,
Too
dude. I don't
late.
know what
I'm gonna
I
edit
don't know
this just so that you say yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love this country.
Hey, this is what I need you to say without me speaking. Say, it's all my idea. Go.
It's all Chris's idea.
You bastard.
It's all Chris's idea.
You know, I'm just going to edit out the beginning where you say your name and just plunk that in there. This is all John Michael's idea.
Whatever. Whatever. They'll never find me. They'll never take me alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've gone over our game show idea,
Yes.
what else is going on? Anything good?
No, nothing good.
No?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. It's pretty sad.
I finally got to see the Muppet movie this weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I think while it was good, I think it was way overblown as to just how good it was. You know, it's very reminiscent of the Muppet movie. The whole thing in the beginning with the two brothers growing up and one's a Muppet and one's not, and they're dancing and singing on the way to the bus. I was like, okay, that's a little too 70s for me. But, you know, overall, it was kind of cool. I figured there would have been more cameos too.
Okay.
There wasn't quite enough cameos for me.
Yeah.
Like, I was really expecting at some point to see, see, I had this before and now I can't think of his goddamn name. The guy who writes all the music. Who wrote all the music for the Muppet movies and stuff.
Paul Williams.
Paul Williams. I was expecting him at some point to show up. I know that they had filmed a bunch of cameos and they cut a bunch out for the Menomina song at the end. But, you know, I was just figuring they could have capitalized on the talent show storyline to get more than just Jack Black. So, you know, they really could have pulled out the 70s stuff at that point and brought back a bunch of people that was on The Muppet Show, just kind of like a recurring thing. You know, bring back Mark Hamill, bring back Donnie and Marie or whoever the hell was on the show. You know, that kind of stuff.
Hmm. So that's pretty much what was wrong with it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I liked it. I thought it was good. It just could have been better.
And will it be a great great miss that Jason Segel will not be in the sequel?
No.
Did he really bring that much to it?
As a writer, I think he did. As an actor, no. That could have been anybody.
Okay.
That could, you know, the storyline was Walter's little Muppet brother. I did like during that one song, "Am I a Man or Am I a Muppet?" They made Jason Segel a Muppet, and they turned Walter into a regular person.
Uh huh.
You know, that I thought was clever. That was an interesting play on it, but it could have been anybody. It didn't have to be Jason Segel. What'd you think of it?
I thought as a nostalgia piece, it was fun.
Yeah.
But I think they're still confused as to what exactly the Muppets are. You know, like, do we need to reinvent this? Does this not already, you know, work as it is?
You don't think after, like, Muppets from Space, they were really confused?
Well, but Muppets from Space was an entirely different company behind it.
Well, true.
Now this is becoming part of the Disney empire and, you know, trying to create another colossal success. But I think that they just don't know what to do with the Muppets. I mean, they tried doing something on the Disney Channel with them.
Right.
Which was similar in tone to the old Muppet Show in that it was kind of a show within a show. But it just never went anywhere.
Right.
And then they tried the TV movies like The Muppet Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I remember those.
It's like, you know, I mean, I don't know if there's that much life in it anymore. Without, you know, key people who are already passed on.
Right. Without Jim, you think it just falls apart?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think is the best Muppet movie post-Henson?
Post-Henson?
Yeah.
Probably Muppet Christmas Carol?
That would have been my answer
I would
as well.
Think. Because it took some familiar Muppet characters, but it brought in other characters strictly for the story.
Right.
And, you know, it was fun. It was silly.
And that was...
It worked.
That was the very first one after he died, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think that was the first time they used a Kermit voice other than Henson.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So there was probably still a lot of nostalgia there. There was still, you know, Frank Oz was a big influence. And I think once all the originals left, that's when it really started the nosedive. Because then you had Treasure Island, which was a mess. And you had all those other crappy TV movies.
I think it's very hard to take something that people feel nostalgic about and make it current.
Right. So you think it's time to put them to pasture?
I don't know. I think that they can live in other ways.
Okay.
You know, the occasional Christmas special, theme park stuff. I was saying, I think that in an age of CGI, it's kind of hard to relate to a new audience. Because you don't see that type of stuff on TV anymore.
Right.
And I think it's hilarious when the Muppets show up on Fallon or The View or Live with Kelly or any of that kind of stuff, because you get them in just a a small dose, and I think it has more impact. Whereas if you try to make them carry the weight of a movie, or the weight of a half hour to hour weekly variety show, it just gets harder.
So they should be relegated to like interstitial stuff.
Yeah, because I think it's harder to make something that is consistently funny.
Right.
That all these little YouTube videos they've done, like Beaker's Ode to Joy.
Right.
It's hilarious. But then what do you do with the other 27 minutes? Or the Muppet, and I'm serious, or the Muppet Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
It's another case of mana mana.
Right, exactly.
It's like, oh, here's something that works really, really well, and then we have to pad it out with Wayne and Wanda. Or the banana sketch. You know, it's...
Right.
I mean, it's hard. It's really... I wonder if... See, I mean, Henson has also tried to do that late night kind of thing with puppets. They had a late night game show.
Did they really?
Game Show Network, in which there were the celebrities were puppets.
Oh.
And one of them was like an invisible man. One of them was like a plastic surgery junkie. One of them was a poodle, kind of like a Miss Piggy, but a poodle.
Right.
And I just don't know that it would work unless you could be completely vulgar.
So, like, the Muppets off the hook?
I don't know. It's a really hard property to try to make relevant today.
Right.
You know, I think Muppet's Letter to Santa works. I think the Muppet Family Christmas movie worked. But I don't think there's enough steam behind it to keep the momentum going.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, this was a good attempt, this latest movie. But like I said, it was such a callback to the Muppet movie.
Right, it had a big nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
And I would almost be willing to say that if you put that up against a Transformers or a Batman or an Avengers, it would have gotten lost. It would have been Rio.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's really interesting to see how you would position something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Muppet fan. I love the non sequiturs. I love the bizarreness of some of the stuff that they do.
Right.
But again, it's just kind of nostalgia.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would fit today. You know, I mean, Muppets Tonight was interesting, and they did some really funny stuff. If you ever saw the Muppets Tonight episode with Prince.
No, I didn't see it.
They had one of the characters, Pepe the Prawn, who's kind of become a celebrity in his own right.
Right.
He had a sidekick on Muppets Tonight. It was Seymour the Elephant. And in the opening sequence where they were welcoming Prince to the studio, to the theater, Prince kind of showed up in very understated clothes.
Right.
And all the Muppets were dressed in different versions of Prince costumes. So Gonzo's got the curly wig, the little mustache, the fishnets, and this one character, Seymour.
John.
Prius.
You cut out again. The last thing I heard was, so this character, Seymour,
is wearing leather pants, and at one point he turns around, and the butt's cut out of him. And Pepe runs over and, you know, kind of spreads his arms like, don't look. That was hilarious.
Right.
And they did a couple of really cute musical things with Prince. But I think they're really hard pressed to find something original.
Yeah.
You know, they had there was some good stuff. You know, Elvis's great moments in history with the Elvises was kind of funny. But too much of it was a callback to the old Muppet Show.
Right.
It's like, can you really keep remaking this and not getting stale?
Well, I think
which is kind of like Saturday Night Live. I think, you know, Saturday Night Live fails so many times because you just don't have the right mix anymore.
Yeah.
Last night they had Sofia Vergara from Modern Family, and I think she's hilarious on the show, but she was dreadful on SNL.
Think that's a thing of writing?
Oh, definitely. I think it has to do with the writing. In the first skit, she played Fran Drescher. So she's trying to do the Fran accent over her really thick Colombian accent. And she fit in perfectly. And then they did a Pantene commercial with her and another girl playing Penelope Cruz.
Jeez, yeah.
And they were just kind of sitting on the couch while fans blew their hair. And Sofia Vergara is saying things like, you know, pretty, hair. And the Penelope Cruz is trying to say things like dioxybenzoate. And, you know, it's when I... dioxybenzoate. It's like, okay. Yeah. About the funniest thing they did with her is the very last sketch. She played a reporter from the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Where she's out on the field interviewing the players. And okay. By interviewing the players, she's calling attention to them and they're getting killed. That was about the only funny thing. The Lindsay Lohan episode. The real Disney Housewives skit. I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube.
No.
But a lot of people have posted it on their Facebooks. It was a hilarious skit. But then the rest of the episode was kind of like, eh. They did the Scared Straight skit, which is the guy who's not Kel, Keenan.
Yeah.
And he's always got some other celebrity with him.
Right.
And in this case, it was Lindsay Lohan. And, you know, the sergeant has three supposed teenagers who are like 35 each sitting in the room. And he's like, you know, we got some people from our Scared Straight program, and they're going to come out and talk to you. And they come out, and, you know, Keenan introduces his character, and then Lindsay Lohan's there. And she goes, and I'm Lindsay Lohan. Big laugh. But it never really went anywhere, because
right.
That was kind of the joke, that Lindsay Lohan is in Scared Straight.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's a combination of the performer and the writing.
Well,
because the Betty White episode was hilarious from start to finish.
Well,
but they brought back so many of the old performers to be part of that.
Right. And I think a big part of that, too, is if you look at the successful episodes of SNL, it's usually people that have real good comedic timing, as far as whether they're comedians or whether they're like comedic style actors. I think that's what makes better. And when you bring somebody like a wrestler, or you bring somebody like the chick last night, they're not
right.
really comedians. And comedic timing takes some talent.
Mm-hmm.
So
totally.
You know, like the original SNL stuff, it was always like special guest was like George Carlin, or it was like
right,
Buck
right.
Henry,
or Madeline Kahn, or B. Arthur, or Buck Henry, or
somebody
yeah.
who had good comedic timing, and now they don't. Now it's who's popular this week.
Right, it's like, how do we write a monologue for this person?
Yeah,
you know, and even when it is somebody who's a comedic actor, like if they bring in a Seth Rogen. Or who's the other fat kid?
Jonah Hill.
Yeah, him. It's just really awkward.
Right.
And I think they hurt themselves every time they bring back Tom Hanks, Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin to comment on how many times they've done the show.
Right.
Versus these other people that just don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, the guests should not be in every single skit that they can cram them into. I think totally. If they did 3 or 4 out of the, what do they do, like 12?
It depends on the night, but yeah.
If they were in like 3 or 4, it would make those 3 or 4 better if that's all that they were rehearsing for.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're coming in and they're having to do a monologue, and okay, the monologue has a singing number in it, well then you got to go and you have to rehearse that, and then you have to rehearse the 9 skits that you're in, and you're losing something.
Right.
Let the guys that are on the show, who are comedians, do the bulk of the show.
Right.
Let the guest host come in and do 3 or 4, and you're out. I think it'd be better.
Definitely. Definitely, I agree with that. I mean, I think it's great that there's live performance on TV.
Right.
When we've got so much crap.
Right.
And that there's live music, if that's what you can call some of these guest groups. But yeah, it's just really hard to keep it going.
Wasn't the musical guest last night some little boy band?
Yes, they're called One Direction.
Down?
Uh-huh. Well, when I saw them, I was like, oh, this must be Big Time Rush or Lemonade Mouth or, you know, one of those manufactured Disney Channel, Nickelodeon Channel groups.
You just got a little creepy by knowing those names.
What? You don't like Big Time Rush?
I don't even know who that is.
You know? Selena Gomez in the scene? Come on. There's some classics. Yeah. Future classics.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think that Selena Gomez could well be the next Roxette. I think she's that good. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Don't choke.
Okay. It's just one of those, it's another one of those, you know, groups. They've been put together, they're going to be gone in a year. And people are going to be like, who? Who did you used to
right.
like?
Uh-huh.
You know, like the Jonas
exactly.
Brothers, or hopefully Bieber soon.
Oh, God almighty.
You know.
Bieber. Bieber.
Did you ever see the picture of him with the Cadillac that he turned into the Batmobile?
Yes.
The Batalac?
Yes. I'm just getting sick and tired of these one percenters who have to tell you how great they are.
Yeah, well.
It's like, oh, it's so great that Justin Bieber just, you know, spent $3 million to mod his Cadillac. And, you know, the elementary school down the street has 70% of children who consider homeless.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Justin Bieber. You make me feel good.
Well, yeah, but he's still making hit songs
but
for the tweens.
Yeah. I'm just disgusted with us as a race. We suck. We really do.
Why does it always come back to that with you?
Because I'm over it.
Every time we get towards the end of the show, you start bitching about humanity.
Humanity sucks. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Don't you just want to, like, I don't know.
You have to have hope, John.
No, I don't. I look at the world and it's like, oh dear God, how soon? When are we just going to blow ourselves up?
You know, at some point in the last year of doing this show, we've completely flip-flopped, because when we started, I was the doomsayer, and you were the one that was always trying to talk me off the ledge, and now it's reversed.
Well, you've just, you know, opened my eyes to how horrendous the world is. It's just sad. When I think that there's so much wrong with our country, but idiots can spend $600 million buying fucking lottery tickets. It's like, really? Because if you had saved up that $100 you spent driving across state lines to buy lottery tickets and gave it to your food pantry, it would be a much better world than, you know, you being a loser for blowing $100 on lottery tickets and have no winners.
But everybody wants that American dream of not having to work anymore, John.
Well, maybe we need to change the American dream. That's
okay, so when you take over the United States, what are you going to change the American dream to?
Well, I no child goes to bed hungry.
Okay.
No FCAT.
So we went from life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to no FCAT.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that'll be part of it. I mean, I think the fact that the usual hilarity that we feature.
you totally cut out for all of that.
It's so, just as well.
So what were you saying?
I was just saying that this is becoming such a downer compared to our usual hilarity.
Well, there was hilarity in the beginning, you know.
There was?
Sure.
So now we're going to bring people down?
No, you're bringing people down. What's this wee stuff?
Oh, fuck you. Everybody, here, I will challenge our listeners.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Everybody go out and just do... for somebody at the bank. You say thank you. You don't just something.
Okay.
And then write to us and tell us how wonderful you are. Or even better, if we could get all 600 million of you to send us each a dollar, I will invest it in the American dream as I see it.
Oh, okay.
So that's all it takes. Everybody send me a buck. All 600 million of you.
Wow.
And I'll just take care of it. That's all there is to it.
And what happens when the real number of our audience members send you a dollar?
Well, then maybe I can split a 20 McNugget with you.
We got some listeners. One of our listeners on Twitter said... here, wait, let me pull it up for you. Of course, when I need to find it, I can't.
Of course not.
Hang on. Oh, that's not what I wanted. Hang on. Let's see. Dance, monkey, dance. Our old friend on Twitter... And I don't really want to say his name because I don't really know. We'll just call him Harold S., okay?
Mm-hmm.
He sent us a nice thing on Twitter this week that says, you guys can sit... if I could talk. You guys,
wow, that's awesome.
Shut up. So, you guys should consider having your own satellite radio show. You are a hell of a lot funnier than Howard Stern.
Wow.
So. See? We got some fans out there.
That's great. Well, thank you, Harold S.
Yeah.
I think you're wonderful. And I bet you look great in that orange jumpsuit.
Hey, don't be insulting people. Not that you don't do it at the entire show, but don't insult the people right in. Jesus. We don't want to lose them as a listener.
Isn't that what they look forward to?
What, you insulting them?
Yes. Because they said their name on the air.
Harold, if that's what you find funny, let me know. And I'll let John know.
And if you could write that on a coconut?
You want to mention that?
Mention what? The coconut I got in the mail this week? Yes. Some mysterious person sent me a coconut. No note, no signature, no return address. Just a little box with a coconut in it.
See? Miracles do happen.
So, thank you for the coconut.
There you go.
Yes, thank you for the big hairy nut. That was awesome of you. See, we brought it around back to funny.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
And we better end it before you actually go back to the dark side.
Okay.
So, if you want to get in touch with us, like Harold S. and the other people that write in, tell us that they like the show. You can either follow us on Twitter at Dan's Monkey Pod, or you can email us at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. There you'll find the links to all the shows, the 46, I think.
Woohoo!
Or this is 46, I don't remember. And they're all there. There's links to our websites. There's all kinds of stuff. So let us know you're listening. Rate us on iTunes. If you can figure out where John lives, send him a coconut.
Exactly.
Send him another coconut so that he can start a coconut collection.
Exactly. That'd be awesome.
That's right. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Brains.